Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the program today. Well, in a recent article out on worldmag.com, Marvin Olasky wrote a couple of paragraphs of introduction into the story that was listed there. The story name is, the title of the story is Cultivating Change, and it's talking about the Hope Awards that are featured by World Magazine every year. And this particular one, we're going to talk about this in just a moment, but in the intro for it, he says this is the ninth year of World's Hope Award for Effective Compassion. Through the nominating work of our readers, we had the privilege of looking into hundreds of poverty-fighting ministries, and through the kindness of donors, we were able to award $45,000 each year to programs that impress our reporters and our readers who vote online each October to decide the national winner. This year, after researching numerous ministries via internet and telephone interviews, we sent Midwest Bureau reporter Daniel James Devine to eyeball Friends Ministry in Michigan and Community Warehouse in Wisconsin. Both seemed equally effective in stimulating change among those who are poor. Both rely largely on informal relationships with Christians and non-Christians within controlled work environments. We chose Friends as the Midwest region winner because over the past 9 years, we haven't seen as many rural programs as urban ones, and because Friends garden work is intriguing. Friends has many avenues of outreach into the community, since everyone or anyone in crisis can arrive looking for help, and Friends gives church volunteers great opportunity to interact with those who are bartering their time to get bills paid. So there's the introduction that is put to the story by Marvin Olasky on World Magazine on their website, www.worldmag.com. And alluded to in that introduction was our guest on the program today, Daniel James Devine. He was the reporter who was sent off to see for himself what was taking place in these two ministries. And so we wanted to get Daniel on the line today to talk about what he saw and what they're doing to help the poor in these two areas. Daniel, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I love to do these positive stories now and then. There's obviously a lot of other negative things happening both domestically and internationally as well, but such a pleasure to take some time out to talk about some positive ways of dealing with some problems, and this certainly seems to be one of them in your stories. Tell us a little bit about what you saw when you went there, specifically starting with the community garden in rural Michigan. Give us a little bit of background of who's there and what they're doing, and then we can move on through the interview from there.
Yeah, so I visited two ministries, and this one in Michigan. The ministries are actually similar in how they approach ministry, but very, very different settings. And the one in Michigan was a rural setting where there was this community garden where they allowed the poor to come and work in the garden in exchange for having a bill paid. And the way it works is that workers have to sign a 37-hour contract to work in the garden. And once they finish working those hours, then they get that bill paid. So there's no handouts of money or anything like that. The organization pays the bill directly, but those workers have to finish those hours before they'll get that paid.
Mm.
And the workers I spoke to when I was there visiting said that they liked that arrangement because, you know, it made them feel like they were really contributing and really, you know, working their way as opposed to just getting a handout.
Mm-hmm.
So it maintains their dignity and also helps them out in ways that they need it.
Mm-hmm.
They could get a car repair bill paid, maybe an electric bill, you know, just things along those lines that they need help out with when they get behind.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea here is that while these people are working in the garden, the organization allows church volunteers to come and work alongside them. And in that process, volunteers are able to build relationships with these people and ultimately be able to share the gospel and share encouragement with those who need it.
Mm.
So it's a great way to for Christians to be able to build relationships with their neighbors in that way.
Mm.
And that's how it works. It's kind of an informal sort of relationship building setting, and it just gives a really good opportunity for that to happen and helps out people who need it as well at the same time.
Now, this is in a rural area, and how large of a farm are we talking about?
Yeah, it's in northern Michigan in a city, I believe it's Lake City, Michigan, and the farm is 61 acres.
Hmm.
And this year, the director was telling me they have, three types of berries, raspberries, strawberries, and then kind of berry I had never heard before called Saskatoons. And they have, and then a variety of vegetables. And so both the workers who are working on contracts can come in and work on these, or people in the community can actually use some of the plots as well just to do their own gardening. Or they can actually purchase a share of the produce, and they'll get that produce throughout the summer as it ripens.
Hmm, interesting. I was going to ask you, what do they do with the actual produce? But I think you explained it there. There's a number of different outlets or ways that the produce then gets used. Do they have like roadside stands or something as well, or some other way that they sell some of the produce in the community, those types of things?
Yeah, they do. They have a roadside stand. They have a farmer's market as well that they'll sell some of the produce in. And they have a variety of other ministries surrounding their organization as well. They have a thrift shop that brings in a substantial portion of their budget. They also will receive donated cars and resell those. They'll also help people out who just come to their ministry for assistance for small budget items. For example, they'll give away gas cards every year at certain times of the year for those who need it.
Mm-hmm.
And when people come in to do, like, for example, a garden contract, the organization will work with them to create a budget. So so they're actually teaching them, you know, how to use their money at the same time as providing them a way to earn some of their bills being paid off.
Mm. Is it very organized, the process, because you're talking about, you know, finding people that are going to come there and do the work and then commit to the barter system that they're willing to do? And then there's got to be obviously some oversight to make sure that those 37 and a half hours are put in, and there's got to be some training involved, of course. I guess they're just not sending people out there and saying, hey, go weed in the garden. They're training them. So it seems like quite a bit of oversight. Is it pretty well managed and organized?
It seemed like it from what I saw when I was there. They have garden managers who actually oversee the workers that come in. So, you know, you get a boss on site there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if workers don't fulfill their contract, you know, if they're not working hard, they can actually have their contract canceled and they don't get their bill paid.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there is that accountability in place to where they have to fulfill what they said they were going to do in order to get the help that they're seeking in exchange for.
Mm. And were you able to talk to some of the folks that were actually participating in the program that had come there to pay off or to barter their bills?
Yeah, you know, I spoke to a woman who first came to this place. It's called Friends Ministry, a few years ago. And she was going through a divorce at the time, and she said that her life was just miserable. And she came, and she felt miserable, but she needed help with the bill. So she showed up at this place, and she said when she walked through the gate to the garden, this peace, incredible peace, just came over her, and she felt like, you know, God was telling her, "You're safe. You're in my territory now." And she says in the time since then, she's really grown spiritually. She's attended and joined a church that the garden manager, who happens to be a pastor of his church, that she attends now. And really just seems like her life has turned around in some ways like that. And she's hoping to get in good enough shape working in a garden to get an outside job. Right now she's pretty dependent on Social Security because of a back problem that she has. But she's hoping to get in better shape, and she actually comes and volunteers every day at the garden throughout the summer, just because she enjoys it so much.
Mm. You tell another story of a 43-year-old single dad in your story as well. So we've got a first here was a young lady or mom coming there first to get some assistance. Here's a 43-year-old single dad who has, it says in the article, he's been off drugs for 3 years, and he was collecting Social Security income because of a head injury and so forth. Talk about what happened. What's his story?
Yeah, he's like you said, he said he's been off of drugs for 3 years. He was telling me the way he got his head injury is he huffed some cleaning spray, being stupid, he said.
Huff, and, for a listening audience, we should explain huffed, I guess. It's
huffing,
they inhale.
So when you inhale something that you shouldn't,
the fumes,
in order to get high off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he did, and he passed out and hit his head on concrete and had to get brain surgeries, and still recovering that from that.
Mm.
So he gets Social Security for that head injury, and it seems like he's trying to turn his life around, though. He's come to work at this garden to get some help out with bills, and does yard work. When I was there, he was weed whacking along a fence, and he said he used to run his own landscaping business and thinks he might be able to start that back up again.
Mm.
One of the things he really appreciates about Friends Ministry is just it gives him an opportunity to work. And he's a single dad who has his kids sometimes, and I believe he has them during the summer. But he says he gets to bring his kids with him when he wants to come out there and work alongside him.
Hmm.
And he really values that because he's able to teach them the importance of hard work, and they can see it in them by example.
Hmm. Excellent. I would imagine that some of the people then that get trained there about how to plant and harvest and maintain these the produce, that they're then able to maybe even grow some of their own food if they, since it's a rural area, maybe they have a little bit of property where they're at or where they're staying and might be able to have their own garden as well, and they would reap the benefits of them being able to provide for themselves and grow their own food and so forth. Does that seem to happen?
You know, I'm not sure if a lot of them have their own gardens at their own houses or not.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to really enjoy, you know, being there at the community garden just because they like the interaction. They like being able to, you know, meet somebody else face-to-face. And, boy, when I was there, they were hugging one another and greeting each other by hands, so by name.
Mm-hmm.
And so they seem to really like being there at Friends Ministry.
Yeah, we do that a lot here in the studio and stuff like that too. Just joking with Gary Miller on the other side of the other side of the desk. He's throwing a big hug over this way now. And you mentioned in your story that this was actually started. This Friends Ministry was started in 1994 as a non-denominational outreach growing out of a deacon's ministry run from a Christian Reformed church and so forth. So it has roots in the church, and no pun intended there with the roots. But what a great story. I mean, excellent. Tell us about the second one that you looked at then. That was the first one, Friends. What was taking place in the second story?
Yeah, the second story, like I said, these two ministries have very different settings, but a similar approach in that they rely on informal relationships to be built in work environments.
Mm-hmm.
And this second ministry, it's called Community Warehouse, is based in Milwaukee. And what's interesting about Milwaukee, Wisconsin actually has the highest incarceration rate for black males of any state in the country. And in Milwaukee County, over half of African-American men have spent time in state prisons.
Wow.
I was pretty floored when I heard that statistic.
Yes.
But what this organization does is allows guys like this who have challenged backgrounds, which usually means that they have some sort of drug or weapons convictions. They have spent some time in jail, usually. This organization allows them to come and get a job. And for a lot of them, it's the first job that they've ever had, first real job, and give them an opportunity to build job skills and to do it in an environment that's run by Christians and where they can build relationships with Christian mentors just informally in that work environment.
Hmm. So it shows in the pictures there on the website, and for our listening audience, you can see those out at www.worldmag.com. We're speaking with Daniel James Devine about a couple of articles that he wrote for the Hope Awards, and these are actually the Hope Award winners in different regions. The Hope Awards are an event every year provided by World Magazine. They select winners in various regions across the country, and then it's actually a monetary prize that is given to them to help in their ministry as well. It said in the beginning of the article from Marvin Olasky from World Magazine, he said $45,000 in that have been provided by readers of World Magazine, those that support World Magazine and so forth, to be able to give those funds away to these worthy ministries. The second ministry that, from the pictures that I see on the website, it appears that, they have doors or trim, you know, for inside the house, or windows, these types of things. So when we're talking about this community warehouse, it's kind of like, I don't know if it's secondhand or brand new products, but it looks like that there is a, you know, type of home improvement warehouse inventory. That's what we're looking at, right?
Yeah, you know, I think it's all new products. And what happens is they have businesses, construction sorts of companies that will donate them products that they either are just trying to get rid of or they haven't sold or for whatever reason.
Mm.
They'll donate them to this ministry called Community Warehouse. And this ministry allows people from poor neighborhoods in Milwaukee to actually come and shop here. And the idea is that they get to shop in this warehouse at a discount that's about 80% below retail value and use these products to renovate homes, renovate businesses in these poor communities, it's really a way of sprucing up these communities by providing discounted construction materials.
Mm-hmm. So the individuals then that are coming there to work, it provides them a place of work. Is that what the connection is with the people in need, the poor people?
Right. The poor people get to shop there, and also what the ministry does is it hires, like I said, some of these guys, men and women actually, with challenged backgrounds. Who just need a job.
Okay.
And they'll take care of the warehouse. And the community warehouse is also provided, they have a separate warehouse where they're actually creating jobs for these guys that they're hiring. Profiled in the story is kind of a face for the story, a guy named Jacob Macklin, who had a really fascinating story. he had a couple of young kids, but he had no car, he had no job, and he had a background of gang activity. And he wanted to be responsible dad, so he started looking for a job. And it's notoriously hard for an African-American with a criminal background, a prison background like that, to be able to get a job. Mm-hmm. And he kept track of all his interviews, job interviews that he did in a little black book, and got up to more than 70. And people would tell him, hey, we'll call you back, you know, we'll keep you in mind, and nobody ever did. Mm-hmm. He got to his 73rd interview at a community warehouse, and this group, this was before they started hiring a lot of these background-challenged individuals like this, and so they debated a little while whether they wanted to hire this guy or not, and mm-hmm. finally they decided, okay, we'll give you a chance. And this guy, Jacob Macklin, didn't have any job skills. All he said he really knew how to do was cook and clean. Mm-hmm. From his background. And so he said, I started going on a wiping spree in the warehouse. I started dusting off the products. And he said, you know what? The more I dusted things off, the more things started to sell.
Huh.
And he learned new skills, and he learned how to take care of the warehouse, drive a forklift, all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
And he eventually became the warehouse manager, and sales doubled. And the warehouse now is just running really well under his direction, and he's become a mentor to the other workers who have come in, who have similar backgrounds as him, and he's their boss now.
Wow, that is a great story. Talk about your gift shall make room for thee. You know, the idea of using what you know how to do, and when you do that you know how to do faithfully, and in his case, eagerly, you know, and doing it well, it opens up doors for him. And, you know, I would think in an industry like that where people are buying home improvement products and, you know, doors and windows and those types of things, there's probably a lot of other jobs that open up. A lot of times people, you know, they don't know how to actually put those products in, and so there might be some help that they may need in order to do that. Or you get construction guys coming in that need more laborers, and so it you're in a good position to you know, better yourself, or to take on another job, or to go into a slightly different area. I would just think it would open up a lot of possibilities there for an individual.
Yeah, the important thing is for these guys to be able to tell their next employer, hey, I held down a job for 6 months or for 12 months at this place called Community Warehouse, you know, and I was faithful and showed up to work on time every day,
mm-hmm.
and that really goes a long way for an employer during a job interview.
Mm.
They can see that here's a guy who's actually proven himself and learned some job skills, and is somebody that I can trust.
Mm.
So that's why this ministry is very important for some of these guys to get them out of what's really in Milwaukee for a lot of guys is just a cycle of living on the streets selling drugs where they can make a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
but it just takes a lot of discipline for them to give that up and start out a job at the bottom at minimum wage.
Mm.
And so that's what a lot of these guys have to do.
Well, I love the approach on both of these stories. It goes right along with Marvin's book, you know, The Tragedy of American Compassion, and the way that compassion was done in this country, and ministry, mercy ministry was done at the founding of the country. It's a great read. I recommend it to the listening audience. They were against what was called promiscuous giving, just handing the money out with no strings attached, with no oversight, no accountability as to who the people were or what their situation was. These types of stories are completely different. In fact, at the bottom of both of these stories, they have this little section called the money box, you know, and it tells what the revenue of the company that we were discussing here was and what their expenses are, the net assets at the end of their fiscal year. Here's an important line. This is interesting. A salary of the immediate past executive director on the story that we were just talking about with Community Warehouse, his salary was $24,000. So it's not people that are taking advantage of the poor and taking advantage of people that are in these situations and then, you know, using the cheap labor to enrich themselves. These are people that are interested, apparently, from the, some of the data here, interested in helping out and not just, you know, using them for their own ends. It says here that there were 24 staff employees on the payroll, 22 transitional workers, and looks like they're just doing a great job. In the first story that we looked at, they had the box there as well. In that box, it said the net assets at the end of 2012 were $365,000. The executive director there at that ministry, his salary and benefits were $48,000, so not exorbitant. One full-time worker and 11 part-time workers, and then their budget for the for 2014 was $286,000. So it gives all the, you know, really good information there, including the website. Daniel, you guys have done a great job of highlighting these things, of ferreting them out among all the ministries that you looked at and selecting some really good winners this year. We commend you for the doing these articles and bringing it to our attention, and we certainly commend the entire ministry there at World Magazine for a great job. Well done. We appreciate the work you guys do.
Great to be able to report some good news.
Amen. I hear you, brother. All right. Thanks so much, Daniel. Again, that was Daniel James Devine. You can go out to World Mag to read the articles for yourself. Both of them have pictures associated with them and more information that we weren't able to cover in the brief interview today. So you go out there and check it out. It's www.worldmag.com. That's www.worldmag.com. The actual article that we were looking at was called Cultivating Change, was the first one there. And again, it was part of the Hope Awards. Daniel James Devine is the reporter on those stories. Cultivating Change was the one we looked at there. And then the second one was called Freedom to Work. Great stories. We'll be back in a few moments.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.